Welcome to the Talking Biotech Podcast. It's the weekly podcast about agriculture and medicine with an emphasis on biotechnology and the good things it can do for people and the planet. My name's Kevin Fulda, and I'm a professor at the University of Florida, one of your top 10 public universities. Today we're talking about a new product that is actually embracing the use of biotechnology. We're speaking today with Dr. Rebecca Larson, lead scientist at A Fresh Look. And we're going to talk today about the product that they have launched called Ethos Chocolates. So welcome very much to the coming to the podcast, Rebecca.
You bet. Thanks so much for having me. What a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's really great that we were able to get you on so fast because this Ethos chocolate thing popped up on my screen about a week and a half ago. And they said, you know, order the chocolates for Valentine's Day. You know, we're embracing science and proud of, you know, the products that are in them. And I said, I got to order these right away. So I did it right away. And the next day, or not the next day, but pretty fast, I got a box of chocolates in the mail, and it was very, very cool. So I wanted to have you on in case there were more chocolates left, and also to share the enthusiasm for a really awesome story here. So what was the basis of starting Ethos Chocolates and using this as a way to disseminate the good parts of biotechnology?
So, you know, the average American is four generations removed from the farm, and people really want to know about where their food comes from. And in my opinion, who better to tell that story than the folks that produce it? Our farmers. They know the power of GMO farming firsthand and are honestly really dismayed by the largely negative commentary around GMO technology in the social media space. So for a couple of years now, our farmers have been actively working to share their knowledge and experiences through social media to try and correct that record on GMO farming. And they were looking for a new, more punchy way to engage. And that was where Ethos Chocolate was born. And really, what better way to engage with consumers than through the gift of free chocolate around a candy-centric holiday, right?
No, that's perfect. It is a very nice way because even the most ardent food-fearing skeptic probably would give chocolate a shot. I mean, look at the risk that we're willing to accept with things like alcohol. You know, I mean, it's no big deal. And even though we know that there are very certain health implications there, and yet something where all of the health implications are fictitious, chocolate is a great example of how to connect. So how has the response been to this promotion?
It has been overwhelmingly positive. Consumers have been snatching up thousands of free chocolate bars, such that we've been rationing them over the holiday to ensure that everybody that wanted some got a fair chance. So it was a great thing, Kevin, that you really jumped on it right away and ordered your chocolate. From an industry perspective, a lot of folks are wondering, you know, what took so long to try an approach such as Ethos? And honestly, the stories behind each bar are just so incredible that we hope that they leave the consumer hungry for more knowledge about GMO farming methods today and into the future. And maybe they'll start on an independent learning journey and go beyond just the tweets that they see on social media.
That's really a great point. And maybe we could talk a little bit more about that, that this is a product that really, really turns its nose up at the non-GMO project and the fear of food and that's coming around product labeling and actually saying, hey, guess what? We're using the most sustainable method that we can to produce these products. And how has there been any negative pushback on that?
Oh, you bet. One of the most major negative pieces of information that we've gotten is we didn't produce enough chocolate. But there are other detractors in the space like this, of course. Many of those people that are detractors are well-meaning, but they just lack the firsthand knowledge of the technology's benefits. In fact, there was a publication just recently that said those that are most ardently against the technology typically know the least about it. So our approach has always been to positively engage with these people and try our best to engage their concerns by sharing facts and figures from the farmer's perspective that are both tangible and relatable to maybe help them develop their journey towards understanding GMO farming. And you mentioned, you know, this fear in marketing. I'm a mother of a four-year-old, and I can tell you there are enough things that I feel guilty about myself without having marketers make me feel guilty about relatively safe decision-making and buying food that my family's going to enjoy to eat.
Well, I, when you go through the website and you look at what's presented there, there's the phrase that comes up that is fiercely sustainable. And so I really thought that was attractive because it's not just sustainable. It really is the ultimate idea of sustainability, especially when you talk about papaya, where you're saving this this crop from a virus and using less insecticide to do it. And then the non-browning apple, you know, saving food waste and making food more attractive so people eat it. I love this. Can you tell me more about that particular tagline and how that really applies to the products?
Yeah, you know, I'm a firm believer and manage some sustainability programs in my day-to-day life. And I think that this discussion around sustainability is an opportunity to change the dialogue away from specific tags and labels on packaging to the true methods behind how crops are produced. So I'll share three quick anecdotes behind our fiercely sustainable claim. You mentioned the papaya industry, and papaya farmers in the 1990s were really sitting helplessly by, watching a crop that was integrally important to them get devastated by a disease that the plant had no natural immunity for. So GMO technology literally just introduced a small piece of that virus into the plant that allows it to recognize that invading pathogen and use its own natural defenses to fight it off completely pesticide-free. The scientists that developed that GMO trait released it free to the farmers and brought that industry back from the brink of extinction. And if you can't use the term fierce around that, I don't know when you can use that term. And you mentioned with the apple, the food waste, you know, it's a critical part of our dialogue about feeding the world today is how much food we throw away. And the Arctic apple was made by turning off a gene responsible for bruising and browning of the apple. Nothing was added to it through GMO technology. And as a mother of a four-year-old, as I mentioned before, I know those crisp white apple slices I send to school are more likely to end up in his belly than in the trash. And that's a fierce solution to preventing food waste. And lastly, I can't not address sugar, of course. And lastly, GMO technology was a game changer for sugar beet farmers. The growers have seen their yields soar over 20% over the last 10 years, while at the same time, it's taking 30% less water, 50% less fuel, and they're emitting 80% less greenhouse gas emissions, all while applying fewer, safer pesticides. So safe, in fact, that the toxicity to the environment is 90% less than alternative production methods. And the sugar that's produced is no different from conventional beets or cane sugar, since it's all DNA and protein free. The only difference is that it's fiercely more sustainable.
That's a really good point, especially when you get into sugar production. You know, from what I've always seen in terms of cane production, which still is perfectly fine. But when you start to look at that, how much the sugar beet, the GE sugar beet, doesn't require the burning and uses a very low toxicity herbicide versus, you know, mechanical cultivation or hoeing or whatever. And I really think that that applies, especially to sugar beet. And it's the sugar that is used in the Ethos chocolates all from those GE sugar beets too?
Yes, it's all proudly derived from GMO sugar beets.
Okay, well, tell me more about different ones you chose, because they all have specific roles in showing how biotechnology has been a very good thing with apples and papayas. But you also have cacao, and cacao is not a biotech crop yet. But why is that an important one to include in the narrative?
So our campaign or promotion is not really about just highlighting past success or current success. It also wants to call attention to future opportunity for GMO farming. And I, for one, am a firm believer in climate change. It's real and it's a present threat to the cacao industry. So GMO technology could introduce resiliency traits into the trees that are going to help them withstand hotter temperatures, reduced water, and increasing pest pressures. And farming in and of itself is pretty challenging and is getting ever more so with the impacts of climate change. As it gets warmer, you see new critters come into the environment that may have never impacted your crop before. So it's more important than ever to protect every type of trait development available and every tool in the toolbox to help those farmers and farming communities remain resilient into the future.
Well, do you have some next generation ones on the drawing board? Like, you know, is Ethos going to, are you going to have the Bangladesh eggplant flavor chocolate? You know, what's next?
So we picked what was easiest to combine with the natural chocolate flavor and taste good. Obviously, another story that's out there that was publicized in the Food Evolution movie was banana. I mean, there's serious problems with banana right now as well, with disease pressures that GMO farming could help with. But we don't have any plans today to introduce new chocolate bar lines. We're just exploring ways to keep this promotion alive throughout the year and in years to come.
Well, when I went through your website, though, I couldn't find any place to actually purchase them. I mean, this is a free promotion at this point. Is there a plan to actually sell this product? And do you think the idea of having it as a biotech-friendly, science-friendly trait or product, do you think there's some extra value in that consumers will pay a little more for it?
You know, we haven't looked at trying to monetize this. For us, it's more about sharing the good work that's been done with GMO farming and correcting that record. And our farmers value that technology so much that they're putting their own hard-earned dollars from their own pockets into buying these chocolate bars and giving them away for free. So we're looking at keeping that model going into the future and haven't looked at trying to make a commercial product.
Oh, you see, that's where I think that you should explore that, because even if you develop the concept and a major producer like, you know, whoever, you know, Hershey's or what, Nestle or whatever, does the production so that this, you know, can be done in a larger batch or whatever, I think that you would find very favorable acceptance from consumers, because it's one thing to say that we can give it away, but I think that it's going to be that consumers won't just buy it. They will pay extra to support it. And you may not get, you know, everybody on board. Of course not. But I think you would find, and maybe I'm not talking to, you know, Ethos Chocolates as much as to a broader food industry, that there is a niche for this. And if you can sell, you know, quinoa or kale chips, you can sell chocolate that's made with genetically engineered ingredients. I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you on that. One of the things that we've learned in this, you know, social media engagement is that you'd think from the push-pull surveys and things that are out there from the non-GMO proponents that everybody and their uncle hated GMOs. But the truth is a little bit different than that. It's really only about 7% of the population that actively thinks about GMOs and GMO farming on a day-to-day basis. Most people are just concerned about getting food that's healthy and safe and that their family enjoys eating. And what they've heard about GMOs has been largely negative, because that's the dialogue within the consumer space. But their feelings towards GMOs are kind of loosely held because they don't really know much about it, but what they've heard isn't good. So getting that positive message out there and sharing the success stories, I think there's still a real opportunity to change consumer acceptance of this really vital farming production method.
No, really great point. And, you know, we're sitting here, and I usually don't like to timestamp my episodes, but, you know, we're at February 15th, 2019. And are there still chocolates available if people from the listenership here wish to find them?
You know, I don't know how much was left over from yesterday. Formally, the campaign was supposed to wrap up on Valentine's Day. So I would encourage people to go out to ethos-chocolate.com and take a look to see if there's still some left. And as I mentioned, we're exploring ways to generate more chocolate bars to keep this thing going.
Oh, really great. So Ethos Chocolates, it's connected to A Fresh Look, right? And can you tell me more about that organization and its mission?
Sure. So A Fresh Look was started about 2 years ago by 1,600 family farms. And there's been a lot of discussion on GMOs within the social media space, but a lot of that's been driven by industry. So we know that farmers have a lot of firsthand experience and success stories to share around GMO farming. So they thought they would be a better source of information for consumers to come and ask questions of. So they spent a lot of time putting together messaging and storytelling and facts and figures around how GMO farming has helped them improve their farming practices, and also trying to change people's perceptions to help them know that GMOs isn't really something scary in your food. It's more about improving the farming methods on the farm, much like you talk about organic farming. It's just GMO farming.
And when you talk about the farmers that were involved in this and involved in those decisions, have you seen more enthusiasm from the farming community at owning this and realizing that, you know, this is their game to lose? Like this is their livelihood here, and that telling the story and participating in the discussion of how they do it and what they do, and most importantly, why they do it. Do you find that that's becoming more acceptable and more a part of what a farming family does?
Oh, for sure. And I think, you know, every day I thank God for GPS guidance on farm equipment, because it's freed up some time for the farmers to sit on their smartphones and tablets within their combine or their tractor to be able to start sharing and engaging in those conversations in social media. There's a numbers game that's a bit of a disadvantage for us. There are actually more people held in the U.S. correction system today than actively producing food on farms. It's less than 2% of the population. So they've got to fight pretty hard to get their voices heard and all of the noise out there on social media. But they're understanding that it's a little bit different than if you and I, as scientists, engage in this debate. People can always question the credibility of a scientific research article, but it's hard to argue with somebody's facts from their farm when they say, hey, I'm using 2,000 fewer gallons of diesel fuel to produce this crop. That's real tangible information from the farm.
Yeah, that's very true. And when you multiply that over the number, you know, 2% doesn't sound like much, but it's still a lot of people and a lot of input. And so any decreases we can make, that's an important part for both, you know, the environment, but also for the farmer's bottom line. And that's why I get so excited about new technology. And this particular facet has been one I've been really waiting for. If people did want to learn more about it from social media, where would they follow either A Fresh Look or Ethos Chocolates or you?
So A Fresh Look does have its own website, afreshlook.com. And Ethos Chocolate also has its own website, which is ethos-chocolate.com. And then if you want to follow the social media discussion around Ethos Chocolate, you can follow the hashtag #FeedYourEthos.
All right. #FeedYourEthos. Well, that sounds absolutely wonderful. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Rebecca Larson, who's the lead scientist for A Fresh Look, talking about Ethos Chocolates. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for your time today. I really appreciate being able to come here and share this great story.
And thank you for listening to the Talking Biotech podcast. Do yourself a favor and get online fast. See if you can order some of the Ethos Chocolates. If you live in Berkeley, California, or maybe Asheville, North Carolina, maybe order a set and save them for Halloween and watch heads explode. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Talking Biotech podcast. Send your suggestions for guests, comments, or questions to talkingbiotech@gmail.com. Please write a review of this podcast on iTunes and recommend it to a friend. More downloads help us reach a wider audience with science.